dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. We are all, I think, now focused in a fairly serious way, or we had better be, on one of the new fronts, or I guess a persistent front, but newly to the forefront of our attention, namely North Korea. And in that space, we are very pleased to have a man who has been working on thinking about contending with the North Korean threat literally for decades. He was formerly the commander-in-chief of the U.S. Pacific Fleet, capping a distinguished 40-year career in the United States Navy. These days, he is the president and CEO of Lyons Associate and also the chairman of the Center for Security Policy's Military Committee. He is, of course, Admiral James Ace Lyons. Admiral Lyons, welcome back. It's so good to have you, sir.
Nice to be with you, Frank, and your listeners.
Thank you, sir. We're listening carefully to comments from, among others today, the President of the United States about what he has described as, quote, very, very bad behavior, unquote, from the North Koreans. He has also talked about the need for severe consequences for that behavior. I want to come back to that in a moment. But, Admiral, let me just ask you, as a military man who has, as I say, had to wrestle with what the North Korean threat is over time, what do you make of it today, and how serious would you characterize as the need to counter it?
Well, first of all, it has grown exponentially with, there's no sweeping it under the rug, with the North Korean nuclear program has its birth because of China and Russia, who have both supported that program. So this fact that China has no influence over the North Korean nuclear program is pure rubbish. And let me say a few things about economic sanctions that people are talking about. To me, economic sanctions have always been a cop-out. And if you're going to do anything with economic sanctions, you must have the military profile to back everything up and then be prepared to use it. There's another element with China, which we need to, we're just starting to use it, and I've encouraged this administration, use, and that is the Taiwan card. As you know, we've just approved a $1.4 billion military equipment transfer to Taiwan. Taiwan is key. I've always considered Taiwan the equivalent of three carrier battle groups. So we need to enhance the Taiwan capability, military capability, which would thwart China's key objectives in the region.
How good is that package as a way of enhancing the capabilities? Is it sufficient? Is it just a down payment on what's really needed, Admiral?
Well, it's more of a down payment. You're quite correct, Frank. We need the upgraded F-16s. We need the guided artillery shells for their 600 artillery pieces, which would devastate any attempt by China for an amphibious type of invasion of Taiwan. But also, more importantly, we need to build up our forces, which were decimated under sequestration under the 8 years of the Obama administration, the deliberate demilitarization of our forces and downgrading, and compounded by the dreadful social engineering mandates that were imposed on our forces, which deteriorated our readiness and capability.
Yeah. So, Admiral, what you've described is sort of two trends, both of which have greatly increased the dangers here. One is the buildup of the North Koreans with help from the Russians and the Chinese on the one hand, and on the other, the diminution of American military power in this same period. I think your idea about bringing the Taiwanese sort of card, if you will, into play is eminently sensible. I was heartened by this down payment, but I agree with you, it's not nearly enough. You also know very well the value of allies in the region more proximate to North Korea, specifically the Japanese and the South Koreans. They're under the gun as we speak. The president tweeted yesterday that he doesn't know how much longer they're going to put up with this. You've been in the command position out there. You have probably as good a feeling as anybody as to the importance of American leadership in all of this. Can the South Koreans and the Japanese, or even the Taiwanese thrown into the mix, contend with this without the strength of the United States as well?
Well, let me say one thing about South Korea. They are an advanced society. They have a flourishing economy, and they've got the technology, they've got the manpower, and there's no reason, in my view, why South Korea cannot do more in their own defense. And in fact, with the noise of the new South Korean prime minister, and I would seriously reconsider redeploying our 28,000 man army troops to Japan, and along with the THAAD missile system, since he doesn't want it, and we bolster up Japan, which certainly is a much stronger ally than South Korea is at this point.
So you're suggesting that we actually withdraw the U.S. forces on the DMZ and south of there from South Korea and relocate them in Japan, Admiral Lyons?
That's one possibility that needs to be looked at. And then you got to look at, you see, when you do that, that sends a very definite signal. Does that mean we're prepared to really go after North Korea with all of the weapons in our inventory? And it should give some people some pause for concern.
This would be because our troops are no longer sort of hostages there in that immediate DMZ.
It's one of the options that's got to be considered. The Army would never do it. They'd stay there for the next 100 years.
Yeah. Well, I must say I'm sort of inclined towards that view, too, as long as the North Koreans are up to no good as they are. But, Admiral, let me ask you about you were one of the co-authors of a paper that we put out at the Center for Security Policy a couple of years ago called The Secure Freedom Strategy. And it sort of took a page out of the Reagan playbook for the strategy that was used to take down the Soviet Union during the Reagan administration. It involved a combination of military buildup and political warfare and intelligence operations, economic warfare. And I just wonder, to what extent do you think that kind of strategy ought to be being brought to bear against the North Koreans? We'll be talking about shortly in the program with Claudia Rosette, the importance of regime change there. This seems to me to be the kind of precondition required for that, don't you think?
Oh, I couldn't agree more. But be fully apprised, any of these sanctions and the problems we bring to bear on North Korea, China has got to be made to pay a price, as does Russia, because they're the ones that have undercut all these other actions that we have attempted. So therefore, you just can't look at North Korea in isolation. China's got to be part of the package.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And of course, we'll be watching closely the kinds of conversations that are held by the president with Vladimir Putin this week, and to some extent, at least in meetings with Xi Jinping of China as well at the G20 meetings. We'll look forward to talking with you after those conversations, Admiral Lyons, and take stock on where we are and what other severe consequences are really required now to protect the American people against this threat. Thank you, Admiral. Next up, Dan Gallington, a former senior Defense Department, Justice Department, and Capitol Hill official. We'll talk about the tripwire that he's recommending vis-a-vis North Korea. Straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.